This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Stocks are higher in early trading on Wall Street despite the fact the Labor Department has just reported that just over 4.4 million American workers filed first-time claims for benefits last week, bringing the total for the past 5 weeks to over 26 million as the coronavirus pandemic grinds down the economy. Former President Obama says there's no coherent national plan in the battle against the virus. The 44th president making the claim in a tweet yesterday saying the country is still waiting for a strategy. Tornadoes kill at least 6 people in the nation's south yesterday, including in Texas, where one big tornado swept through Polk County.
The wind was blowing so strong, it blew part of my back porch down, and we ran into the bathroom with my chihuahuas.
The south faces a tornado risk again today, and this is USA Radio News.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
As many call for the reopening of states despite the continuing coronavirus outbreak, President Trump is issuing an order to close something else, the U.S. borders.
In order to protect our great American workers, I've just signed an executive order temporarily suspending immigration into the United States.
The president says it will be a 60-day pause in immigration, and it will impact people seeking permanent residence in the United States. U.S. House members are in action at this hour, preparing to vote on providing additional aid to small businesses during the coronavirus outbreak. A bill already passed by the U.S. Senate this week would pump more money into the Small Business Loan Fund that quickly ran dry. The nearly $500 billion bill also provides aid to hospitals and money for coronavirus testing. And President Trump has said he will sign the bill once it reaches his desk. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The Small Business Administration says it's had to inform thousands of businesses that have applied for emergency loans about a data breach that may have compromised their private information. That and more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The SBA said nearly 8,000 applicants to its Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program were affected by the breach and were alerted to the event in a letter from the government. Discovered on March 25th, the breach may have allowed other applicants to view Social Security numbers, income amounts, names, addresses, and contact information. An agency spokesperson said they disabled the impacted portion of the website immediately and relaunched the application portal. The SBA said the affected applicants can request a year of free credit monitoring. Economic injury disaster loans, which in the past have been used to aid business owners facing losses from natural disasters, were greatly expanded under the $2.2 trillion CARES Act to cover businesses affected by the coronavirus pandemic. It now offers grants of up to $10,000 in addition to traditional loans. Unlike the Paycheck Protection Program created by the CARES Act, those seeking disaster loans apply directly via the SBA website. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
You can find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Hey, we're doing all the good things, self-quarantining, watching our distance, washing our hands, playing our role to bend the curve in a direction that gets this country moving again. Meanwhile, the United States and Canada is exploring the possibility the novel coronavirus was accidentally released from a Chinese lab. Intelligence sources have reported as such to Yahoo News, Fox News, CNN, and now the world. We have realized along the way that the CCP and anything China is becoming a verboten word. And our next guest, Dr. Wilford Riley, is back with us, who is the author of the book, Taboo. May want to add this as an expanding topic when he does the revision of the book. Dr. Riley, good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Good. Good to be back on the show, as always.
Well, we can't talk CCP. The Democrats, boy, they circle their wagons really quick. The World Health Organization and others, certainly they seem to align with a political rhythm, which is rather communist or Marxist in origination. They're protecting the Chinese, but we've been saying this for a number of weeks, if not months, that all of this was rather suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things you've seen with the coronavirus is things sort of appearing in the media on the right or the far left and being dismissed as conspiracy theories and then turning out to be absolutely true. And, I mean, that's true across a number of lines. I mean, for weeks, dissident reporters essentially had been claiming that the U.S. government and many states were counting anyone to die, quote-unquote, with coronavirus as a COVID-19 death. And a couple of days ago, the New York Post reported that that was true. And on a much bigger scale of the news story, I think this was Business Insider, is that there's now substantial evidence from the intelligence community that the, quote-unquote, Wuhan virus, COVID-19, was developed, for whatever reason, in a Chinese lab and somehow escaped or was released. And that's an alternative to the primary story, which has been that this came from eating essentially bat soup.
Right. Right. Which the people who are very familiar with the wet markets says there was no bats within hundreds of miles during that period of time. So that isn't plausible when you break it down. The fact of the matter is, from day one, Professor, as you know, the communication channel has been infiltrated. It's been polluted. It's corrupt. And, you know, whether you're talking about the models that we've been using to engineer the closing of our economy, the cost that and impact that it's had on everyday citizens, all based on a corrupt communication channel. Boy, I'll tell you, we've got a lot of rethinking and retooling to do here.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction to a lot of this is, you know, however serious you think coronavirus might be, we're in real trouble if a world war jumps off of the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that this crisis, and there is a reality underlying this, there is a crisis here, has really revealed a lot of the issues in American society, whether that is incredible political correctness that prevents us from saying things like a virus that began in China is a Chinese virus, or whether that's conflict between the different racial groups where you're now seeing this goofy argument that coronavirus is racist and it's ageist and so on, whether that's the inability to just talk openly about things, all those are being brought out into the public eye by coronavirus. And some of this is extremely important. I mean, one of the things I reiterate every time I do an interview about coronavirus is that it is an extremely age-specific threat. So if you look at data from either the WHO or the US CDC, if you're a healthy adult male, under 50, no major pre-existing conditions, and you get coronavirus, your chance of death is about 1 in 1,000. The people that are most at risk are our seniors, who we need to protect, who we might want to consider quarantining. But even that is sort of off the table in terms of what you can discuss. So the whole, I mean, obviously, yeah, coronavirus began in China. I don't find the lab story to be particularly unrealistic. Now, obviously, the wet markets are still a bad idea. You shouldn't eat bats or pythons, things like that. Right. There's some risk associated with that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the inability to actually discuss some of the background of coronavirus, from where the disease came from to who it kills, is a major problem. It's unbelievable that this is still going on during a disease pandemic, I will say.
Exactly. And the problem is, because we do not have the facts, opinion is running rampant, and it could put us on a dangerous trajectory. And you kind of touched on this. You know, for some people, I think their ears may have perked up, and that is this going to put us on a trajectory against China? So, I mean, China right now militarily is becoming very aggressive and has been, but they're really taking advantage because everybody's eye is on the coronavirus. Now, don't think the United States is not keeping an eye on China, but they continue to maintain their aggressive expansionistic track that they're on, and it doesn't seem like they're calling time out. If anything, they're being more aggressive and taking advantage of the distraction that is within the reporting venues right now. And so, you know, are we going to wake up one day and all of a sudden find ourselves in a similar situation like we did in World War II with Japan?
I wouldn't be entirely surprised. No, because the U.S. and China are both nuclear powers, so I really don't see a shooting war breaking out. I mean, no one wants to see a new sun rise over Peking or Chicago. But, yeah, I mean, and this again gets into political correctness. Can you say some of this stuff? But in general, first of all, China is a repressive communist dictatorship. They're still the Red Chinese. They've never changed that. I think in recent years, there's been this tendency to view China as cool, sort of this idea of the dragon and the eagle. They're our rival across the sea. It's mostly friendly. They make cool apps like TikTok. I mean, China is a one-party communist state. The people are great, but the government is existentially evil. I mean, the entire coronavirus situation was made possible to some extent by the fact that the Chinese tried to camouflage the fact that this thing had been released.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for weeks, you might correct us, but 19 days or something like that, when they knew coronavirus was out, when they were sealing people up in houses in Wuhan province, the party line, literally the party line, that's what it means, to the WHO was, well, we think this is fairly harmless, we've got it under control. If China had done the honorable thing, as I think, say, France, whatever, Nigeria, most countries, and said, look, we've got a disease problem in our country, it's embarrassing, you need to not accept our flights for a couple of weeks, we're going to get this handled, there would not be a global coronavirus catastrophe. So that's,
exactly.
That's point one.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so part of that is we do have to decide how to deal with China. I mean, in the past, I mean, for four generations ago, we probably would have declared war. Now, the level of weaponry that exists makes that untenable. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the global community does need to think about how to punish the Chinese. I mean, are we talking about Iran-level sanctions? One thing that's been suggested a lot in the business and markets community is just that we don't pay part of our debt to China.
Yeah, and I think that's viable. I mean, this is costly. If it was the other way around, you better believe the Chinese would be sending a bill our way. And, you know, and they're going to pay up and find ways to do this. This is what, and are they going to, you know, be compliant enough and accept responsibility and pay the bill? Because we've already got two lawsuits here in the United States. Now, whether or not they can get to the next level, we'll have to wait and see. But that's something that Congress has to approve first.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely support that. And there are some interesting technical questions there. I mean, if you're a citizen of one foreign world power, can you sue another foreign world power? But, I mean, there is a world court, so we can in a national capacity. Nicaragua successfully sued us for some of our dirty tricks in Latin America in the 1980s, and then
exactly.
The country settled amicably. But I don't see why we couldn't do the same thing. But,
well, we've got to go to break. We've got more from the professor after this. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent is the way we come at you, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation with Dr. Wilford Riley continues, the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of the book Taboo, and we're expanding, little did we know, we were going to expand chapters of his book. This is out now and ready for a great read, and it will help you appreciate just how corrupt the communication channel is. And, you know, you think about this, Wilford, that, you know, here we are, our First Amendment right, why it's so important, why it needs to be protected, but yet it's every aspect of the First Amendment and, dare I say, even the Second Amendment, is under attack right now. And if this continues, this is foundational to everything that we hold to in the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, well, I think there are 2 points. I mean, so first of all, coronavirus has become unexpectedly, because I thought we'd just get together and handle this as a disease pandemic, but has become a hotbed for taboos. I mean, you're not supposed to say that the virus came from the Wuhan region of China. You're not supposed to honestly discuss some of the reasons that affected different groups differently. Young men, working class men, African-American men are more likely to be out in public, maybe more likely not to follow some of the social distancing rules. You're not supposed to discuss the fact that if you are a healthy working age person and you get coronavirus, you need to be very careful around grandma, but you're not going to die. We don't all need to panic. You're not supposed to discuss quite a lot of that. And if you do, you're accused of loose talk or racism or even hurting lives, so that risking lives. So that's point one. And I think point two that comes out of that, well, actually, I mean, I think point one pretty much sums it up. But going into point two, I mean, another question is, how do we balance things? So nobody wants to hurt others during a disease pandemic, but I feel that that's being exploited to some extent, and I think you might as well. So right now, we're seeing the upsurge of some real resistance in the USA. If you look at some of these states like Michigan, for example, like that's Governor Whitmer up there.
Yes.
Where they've closed the jogging trails and the better fishing spots because they want you to exercise in specific state-designated areas, and where they've banned the sale of seeds and wood in case you want to do some essential home repairs during this time. I mean, that's been going on about 3 weeks now, and the other day you saw thousands of people, a mix of blacks and whites who look like to me, regular patriots, go to the state capitol, park their cars, and start walking around saying, we're not going to do this. We're going to stand 5 feet from each other while we're protesting, but that's it for this. So we're going to see how long this works in America, which is a free country with a long warrior tradition. Obviously, again, be very careful around seniors and so on, but I don't think the stay home for as long as we tell you Chinese approach is going to work here.
No, no, it's not. And I said to the audience when we saw what was happening, hats off to the Michiganders, because I believe they were teaching the rest of America what we the people looks like. Because people have wondered, you know, they said, well, we the people, you know, it's a government of, for, by, we the people, which means that we're in charge. I mean, this is what the framers did. They turned the org chart upside down. Instead of having a king or a despot, it was the people that were going to be in charge. And what the Michiganders represented to everybody, and a good teaching lesson, is this is what we the people looks like, is when government starts to be treasonous in their action and draconian, they have every right to take a stand and say, no, we're not going to do this. Enough of this stuff. I mean, short term, okay, let's wear a mask, let's do some hygiene. This is going to help. It's also going to help us down the road in dealing with the flu epidemic. But we really need to, again, I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to have the communication channels rid
of any kind of corruption. We got all these false numbers. We've got models that are leading us to believe that we're going to have millions of people lying in the street dead as a result of this coronavirus. And now, you know, here we are. We've stopped this economy. Unemployment, 20 million plus Americans out of a job. And all for this, and it's, you know, it's just seemingly, it just feels like more of a hoax and more fake news that's out there. This is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that one of the points I keep coming back to here is sort of honest talk. So, I mean, one thing that has to be discussed, as you mentioned, when you said people are willing to practice a totally new level of hygiene, people are willing to stand 6 feet from each other, coronavirus is real, and nobody wants anyone to die from the disease, although in the end, all people will die. That's the foundation of science and religion. But, I mean, one of the things I'm working on right now is a piece for Spiked magazine, later to come out in a serious academic journal, by the way, but simply looking at whether what we call the lockdown strategy works better as a way of fighting COVID-19 than what you could call the serious social distancing strategy. Mm-hmm. So when governments say you have to stay home, and if you leave home, you have to wear a mask and do these other things, it seems to me that they're confusing two strategies. One is you stay home, but the other is you have the freedom to move about, but you perhaps should use a mask and you should wash your hands, you should stay 6 feet away from people and so on. And I'm not a doctor, but I am a good quantitative methodologist, and it seems to me that in scenario two, it would be very, very difficult for you to infect anyone in the first place. And that's what my results seem to be showing. I don't find that the many U.S. states, you're talking Iowa, Arkansas, Utah, South Carolina, large places that never shut down, have any higher a rate of coronavirus than those places that did shut down, assuming that people socially distance. Mm-hmm. The highest infection zones for coronavirus, for example, such as Brooklyn and New York, are places that are technically shut down, but where people seem to simply be disrespecting the shelter-in-place orders.
Exactly.
So all of this is just not being discussed. I mean, my own take, and again, I'd love to hear the many doctors in your audience chip in about this. No one wants anyone to get hurt. But my own take is that Americans in the majority of the country would be perfectly capable of following social distancing rules and thus going back to work. I don't see my fellow Kentuckians having any trouble wearing masks and going to the Safeway.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the same way here in Florida. You know, people have been very good about it. What's been disturbing for us in Florida, and thank God Governor DeSantis finally put a stop at the borders, because we had people coming down from New York, even though they were told to stay at home, they're coming down here to play golf. It's like, wait a minute, you guys are on quarantine. What are you doing, you know? And just like the same thing that happened with, you know, the revelers during spring break and Mardi Gras and all this. Yeah, you're going to get these irresponsible knuckleheads, but that's where you need these orders and you need the execution of said orders to be followed up on. But I agree. For the most part, the majority of Americans have participated in reasonable exercise of social distancing, hand washing, and these things that have proven to be very effective. Now, it really, the onus, again, is on our government and on our officials to find out what the truth is. No holds barred, no political correctness. Give it to us straight, because America will do whatever we need to do, but we want to make sure we're not being duped in the process.
Yeah, and I think that when you say things, like, I mean, I am a scientist, I teach at State University, when you hear someone say there's really no measured difference between shutdown states and social distancing states, I think if people see that and they read that piece, and they read pieces from people that are more skilled in this field than I am that say this, they begin to wonder, why am I being told these things that don't seem to be true?
Right.
And why am I given no chance to publicly disagree with them? And I think that's very dangerous in America. I mean, so again, a couple points from what you just said. One, obviously there are things we can all do to stop the spread of diseases. I mean, like those kids that went to Florida for spring break were complete idiots.
Yes.
You know, if there's a disease sweeping the country, I mean, canceling events of more than, say, 100 people is a good idea. I mean, even during the Spanish flu, they canceled baseball.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But beyond that kind of obvious step, another thing you're not supposed to say is that we really do need to talk about the trade-offs here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that there are 20 million people unemployed right now. As I understand, as of yesterday's updated number, it's actually 22 million.
Mm-hmm.
Those people have been released from work within the past 3 weeks.
Right.
So So if you're saying if we go back to work, there may be, if you're looking at the real models that just came out now, say 20,000 deaths, we do have to ask, would you prefer that or would you prefer 20 million lost jobs and bankruptcy with the suicides and so on?
Exactly, and the association of deaths to go with it. Exactly. And this is what we have to be able to do outside of the realm of political correctness. And don't forget, I mean, in the Nordic countries, you had Sweden that did not shut down their economy. I mean, to me, they're the poster example of how to deal with this. Now, Switzerland and Norway shut down their country, and look at that experiment and the contrast between those three countries, right?
Yeah, one thing that I would say there, actually, there's one line out of Sweden. They said, we're a warrior culture, and we trust people to follow the rules. And I think that America is as well.
Same way. Dr. Wilfred Riley right here. Thank you, Wilfred. Appreciate it. Take care.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Stocks are higher in early trading on Wall Street despite the fact the Labor Department has just reported that just over 4.4 million American workers filed first-time claims for benefits last week, bringing the total for the past 5 weeks to over 26 million as the coronavirus pandemic grinds down the economy. Former President Obama says there's no coherent national plan in the battle against the virus, the 44th president making the claim in a tweet yesterday saying the country is still waiting for a strategy. Tornadoes kill at least 6 people in the nation's south yesterday, including in Texas, where one big tornado swept through Polk County.
The wind was blowing so strong, it blew part of my back porch down, and we ran into the bathroom with my chihuahuas.
The south faces a tornado risk again today, and this is USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez, live.
Independent, just the way you like to hear from us, ladies and gentlemen. I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. This is the time for us. Is Dan Crenshaw, the author of the book, and Congressman Fortitude, American Resilience in the Era of Outrage, said we must all lighten up, toughen up, and begin treating our fellow Americans with respect and grace. And I think in many ways we are, in terms of treating our fellow Americans with respect and grace. It's a bit of a challenge right now because of the political rhetoric at a time, disappointingly, when we should be coming together. You know, it's interesting how those dynamic tensions are cohabitating in our country. And, you know, what is that doing? You know, what is that doing for you? How is that altering your perspective? Think about it and try to remain hopeful and positive through these trying times. And again, take the advice of Dan Crenshaw, the congressman. You know, lighten up, toughen up, and begin treating our fellow Americans with respect and grace. With us right now is Paula Ferris. What an incredible story. You know her name, you know her face especially. She was all over ABC for such a period of time. And what a talent. It was the summer of 2018 at the height of her career. Paula stepped down from not one but two dream jobs, her roles as co-anchor on the weekend edition of Good Morning America and co-host of The View, as she felt God calling her out of a vicious cycle of being addicted to work. And for what? To find the answer to a question that haunted her. Who was she apart from her job? Paula, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Well, Paula, I think that is the tough thing for all of us. I mean, especially for people who find themselves unemployed. We got 25 million people unemployed right now who are so identified with their job, right? And you ask people, what do you do? It's not even who they are. It's what do you do?
No.
And, you know, and so they become more like a friend of mine would say, he says, we're human doings, not human beings.
Yeah, unfortunately. I know that's what society tells us, though, Bill. What's your name? What do you do for a living? How many books are written about leaning in and finding your calling? And that's always related to career, is it not? So
yes.
The moment that there's any sort of shift in your vocation, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, you have this shift in your spirit, your shift in this identity. And that's what happened
exactly.
For me. I was burnt out, frankly. I was at a professional high, but personal lows. And I really struggled because I said, well, God, you've called me to do this, right? But, you know, I felt like God was telling me, I didn't call you to sacrifice the relationships with your husband and your
exactly.
family and your kids and your relationship with me. Mm-hmm. And so God really had to get my attention, and he did.
You know, not to mention your own health. Not to mention your own health was being compromised.
My health was compromised. But and even though I felt that stirring when I was at the height of my career, and I looked at my landscape, and it was just a hot mess, and my kids and my family were getting my leftovers, I didn't listen to that still small voice of God saying, "I need you to pump the brakes here." Mm. And that's when I challenged him. I said, "But God, you didn't leave me here just to why did you lead me to this place
exactly.
pursuing my calling?" But that's where we conflate calling with career, and that's one of those words that's thrown around even in the faith circles of find your calling, and it's synonymous with doing. It's synonymous with career. It's synonymous with work and vocation. And so when I finally went through, I write about in my new book called Out, this season of hell, Bill, I felt like God had to get my attention through a personal crisis where I experienced five tragic events within a short period of time. I had a miscarriage and an emergency surgery, and then I had a freak accident at work where someone threw an object at my head while I was getting ready to go live for Good Morning America, and I had a concussion, and I was knocked out of work for 3 weeks.
Well, they were just being goofy and threw something at your head?
It was some boys that were never caught. So it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, right, okay.
But the day I got cleared to go back to work, I was in a head-on car crash, and then I got influenza and then pneumonia. And so I felt like God allowed that personal crisis in order to get my attention. And it was in that moment I said, all right, God, I know that you're calling me out of this space. Oh. And I feel like God allows a crisis, a personal or pandemic. I felt like he allowed me a reset button and a chance to reassess. And I feel like he's giving that to so many of us right now. It's tough because we've experienced loss on such a visceral level, whether it's loss of job, whether it's loss of finances, whether it's loss of dwelling, whether it's loss of loved ones. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that God is in this. And just as he was in my personal crisis, he's in this pandemic where he's giving us a chance to reassess and to reset, and also to just really reflect on where our significance is coming from. Is it in doing? Is it in a job? Is it in a home? Is it in a bank account? Is it in a relationship? So what I discovered after stepping away and not knowing who I was outside of what I did, having this identity crisis, that's where I really felt God revealed to me what true purpose and true unshakable calling are about, that don't shift with a personal crisis and aren't unrooted and aren't movable with the pandemic.
Let's rewind for just a little bit. Let's go back and hear how you got to New York. I mean, you're from Ohio, right?
I'm actually from Michigan, but by way of Ohio and Chicago. Okay. So born and raised in Michigan, and I left Michigan in 1993 to go to college in Ohio. I went to a small Christian school in Ohio and pursued broadcast communication. But I emphasized behind the scenes. So I worked out of college. I worked in, you know, in Columbus and Dayton and Cincinnati. My first on-air gig was in Dayton. That's when I first kind of got up the courage to face my fear and be on camera. So Dayton, Cincinnati, Chicago, and then my family and I moved to New York about 9 years ago. And that's how we ended up in New York. We never saw ourselves in New York. We never had dreams of going to New York. We were Midwest kids. My husband's from Indiana. And I'm from Michigan, and we met in college in Ohio. So,
and you were both Christians, right? You're both Christians at that.
Yes, we met in college at Cedarville University. It's a small liberal arts Christian school in Cedarville, Ohio. But so we ended up in New York about 9 years ago to pursue this like tug on our lives. And I think like you sense when God's trying to get your attention. For me, it's always been like that guttural spirit tug where I either have a peace about something that's from the Holy Spirit or I don't have a peace about something which is also from the Holy Spirit. And we really felt like we were called in that vocational season to move to New York, even though it didn't really make sense to a lot of folks. It didn't really make sense to us, but we really wanted to obey God. And so we
You feel like God's calling you to make a difference there in New York, as liberal a city as it is. And many would say, although there's lots of churches throughout the city, you know, that there was some, you know, a lot of people were very anemic toward God. I mean, you know, the culture has been overwhelmed and overly influenced there in New York. And you're probably feeling, okay, well, maybe you're the one that God has chosen to, you know, speak to the darkness.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to be a light to people, and I, you know, that verse in Matthew about, you know, not dousing your lamp, but putting it on a hill so that everyone can see. And remember, light shines in dark places. And I think we've so often, especially in faith circles, we say, well, if you want to minister, you have to work in ministry. But I don't think that that's correct. I think whatever we do and whatever capacity we're in is our opportunity for ministry. Mine happened to be broadcasting. I do feel like God's, you know, asking me to shift even more. But in order to do that, I had to realize where my identity was coming from. It was misplaced in doing. I'm released from believing that my worth is work. And now I know that God can use me in whatever capacity, in whatever season He wants me to use me in. So I don't look at myself so one-dimensionally anymore. And I think we fall into that trap of seeing ourselves as one thing.
Kind of amazing,
so tied to that one thing. So tied to that one thing. And when that thing shifts, then we're like, well, what am I? And so I think God, you know, God has given me permission to see myself outside of doing and outside of this one thing that I've done for a long time.
We've got to go to a quick break. You know how those work. Paula Ferris is with us.
Her
brand new book called out, Why I Traded Two Dream Jobs for a Life of True Calling. More from Paula on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman. done and no waste of time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Paula Ferris continues with us. We're talking a brand new book called Out, Why I Traded Two Dream Jobs for a Life of True Calling. As a TV correspondent for ABC News and host of ABC's podcast Journeys of Faith from July 18, 2014 until July 22nd of 2018, Paula's co-anchor of Good Morning America Weekend. She also co-hosted The View for seasons 19 through 21 and graduated from, as she said, Cedarville University with a degree in broadcast journalism. So it's, needless to say, quite a ride from Michigan, Ohio, New York, dream jobs. And it was like as soon as you hit the ground in New York, this had to be reaffirmation for you that this was the right move because everything just kind of fell into place so quickly, did it not?
Yeah, it really did. They recruited me to work at the network in New York to be the overnight anchor. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a year. I didn't even know we had an overnight newscast. But they recruited me to do that. And it was so fun. It was called World News Now. It's still around. And then after a year, they promoted me And then after another year, they promoted me again to weekend anchor of Good Morning America. And then they promoted me to co-host of The View. And yeah, it all was like, okay, God, I'm in my wheelhouse. You are using me. This is exactly what you called me to do. Mm-hmm. And then I reached that point where I was like, okay, God, you called me here, but I don't think you called me to this place to see, my personal life just fail so spectacularly. You didn't call me here, to this moment to ask me to really lose my relationship with God, lose my relationship with my husband and my kids. So
Exactly. That's
where, that your professional and personal choices are completely clashing with your professed values.
Mm-hmm. I want you to share one story I read in your book about running into Dolly Parton, of all places. This is a hysterical story. You got to tell us about that.
Yeah, we were talking about fear, whether it's external fear or internal fear, and Dolly Parton's one of those people that, I've been paralyzed through fear my whole life, and I've been depressed through it, but sometimes we're affected by external fear and circumstances. Mm-hmm. For her is growing up in poverty and having to press through that fear, being one of the first educated in her family. Mm-hmm. Dolly Parton happened to be at Good Morning America this particular morning. I just happened to be filling in for Robin Roberts, and it was before the show had started, and I decided to use the restroom right before I was anchoring alongside George Stephanopoulos and Michael Strahan. Mm-hmm. And I go into the bathroom, the Good Morning America women's restroom, and I know someone's in the restroom because I can hear them, but it looks like they're in the middle stall because that's the only door that's really completely shut. So I go to the final stall, which is typically, the door was kind of ajar, and I open it really quickly, and when I open it, the door swings open and hits Dolly Parton as hard as can be right in the shoulder. And I mean, I cannot even express the level of mortification and embarrassment. I backed up. I took two steps. I ran into the wall that was behind me, and I had my hands up, and I said, oh, my gosh, it's Dolly Parton. Oh, my gosh, it's Dolly Parton. Like I was, and I said, I am so mortified. She was so gracious. Mm. And then a little bit later, after the show that day, she was on to promote her literacy program. Mm-hmm. After the show, in the hallways, I'm getting ready to walk past her, and I like put my head down, and she grabbed me by the arm. She's like, "Hey there." She's like, "Don't worry about earlier." And in her sweet little Southern voice, she says, "Those that pee together stay together." So she showed me an enormous amount of grace in a very embarrassing time. But I walked in on Dolly, in the restroom.
And that's who she is, Paula. I mean, she's just so authentic and truthful. Oh. And I've seen other people try to get her off point, but she knows. I mean, you talk about there's not identity crisis in her life. I mean, she's quite the example, isn't she?
Absolutely, yeah. She's firmly rooted in who she is. Mm-hmm. And knows who she is outside of what she does. And I think so much of that comes from just her childhood. Mm-hmm. And not having much. And she is just as sweet and gracious and generous as they come. She really is, and authentic. So,
well, you imagine all the people that bullied her as a child for her poverty, made fun of her and everything, what they must think now. They probably, if they have an opportunity to see her in concert, would have a hard time. They might, put their head down, but she might recognize them and call them out and say in her very sweet voice, oh my,
okay.
It's just good to see you, and like as if nothing had happened, right?
It's almost like the story of Joseph, in the Bible, where, his brothers, after they sold him into slavery, they're so traumatized by what had happened and in that moment. But she's not the type of person that holds ill will or seeks revenge. She knows what grace is because she's experienced that, and she is very generous with doling it out.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, I remember I was 7 years old and I was on a bus and I was attending Catholic school, and I was blessed to be taught by nuns, really a glorious opportunity. And, and as I'm on this bus, I noticed this sign, and it was a saying from William Shakespeare, "To thine own self be true." And even at 7 years old, I said, there's something very profound about that. And I can tell you that has been a constant question and filter for me throughout my lifetime, that little saying on the bus while I'm heading to Catholic school. And and I thought about that with you. It came back to clarity as I was reading about the identity crises that you were going through. In fact, at one time, there was an anonymous saying. It says, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And I purposely changed it in my office because people would see that. And I changed it. I said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off his goal. And that has been a guidepost for me. But for you, as you've walked away from everything that you thought was what you dreamed about, and turned it over to God and all that that represents. Where do you find yourself today, Paula? I mean, here your marriage relationship was being stretched, your relationship with your kids, your own health, all this, and now do you kind of feel a little bit like Job after the fact?
No, I feel like I'm in such a good place. It's interesting because I don't know what the next vocational branch will look like for me or that the next vocational branches will look like. But I feel like I have a deep peace in my spirit that God's in it. And that's what faith is all about. And I feel like God so often asks us, Bill, to circle Jericho. We don't know why we're circling it. We know that we have to take it down. But in that same chapter of Joshua where, you know, God says, in the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you, that has stuck with me. And I feel like God is in this, and he's asked me to press through the fear and to step out in faith. And in that, in Joshua 1, God commands us to press into fear. Exactly. And he commands us to push through it. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God's with you everywhere you go. That has guided me throughout my career ups and downs, and really remembering in those touch points in life where God asked me to do things that maybe looked crazy to everybody else and sometimes felt crazy to myself. I knew that if God called me, he would equip me, that in the same way he was with Moses, he'll be with me and he'll be with you. But I also knew in the same breath that God commanded me to press into that fear, but he promised me that he would be there for me in it and through it. But I have to take that first step. We have to take that first step when we can't see the rest of the staircase. I'm in a good place. I don't know what's next, but I know that God's in it. And I know that so often he just wants us to take that first step.
Yeah, it is amazing when fear is in the rearview mirror and not looking, you know, through the front mirror of life, that's for sure, or the front window.
Let me say something about faith, though. It's nothing that we ever conquer, Bill. It's not like I'm done and it's always in the rearview mirror. I think we expect it and we anticipate it, especially in big moments. It's not something like, oh, I just solved fear and I conquered it and I'm not going to have to deal with it. No, it's always present. But
exactly.
God tells us he commands us to press through it. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and this is why the Bible in 365 times says fear not, or some form of fear, you know, not fearing. So for every day of the year, we're reminded to fear not, right? In the book, you talk about three ways to determine if you're in the right vocation. We've got about a minute and a half left here, Paula, so I'm going to let you sum that up for the audience.
Yeah. Well, I had to realize that we have these two callings. We have a faith calling and a purpose on our life, which never changes, not career related. And that's just loving God and loving people. That's it. That's who you are.
Yes.
What you do is your vocation. Here's how to find, and that's going to change through life, but here's how to determine if you're in the right vocation. Are you good at it? Do you love it? And the trusted people in your life notice that you're good at it and you love it. Bill, it's not enough to just be good at it. You have to love it too. And you have to have other trusted people notice that you're good at it and you love it. That is kind of like the three-step formula for vocational calling. And knowing like what talents and gifts you've been given and knowing what area God's leading you into. So ask yourself those three questions.
Yeah, you and I could have fun because I can unwrap that a little bit more. I'd also say that there needs to be fruit. There needs to be fruit for your effort, and that will be obvious to you and those that that love you and come in contact with you. How did you get Max Lucado to do the afterword for you?
I'm a reporter. I'm tenacious. What can I say?
Good for you. I love Max.
God gave me.
I love, yeah, hold you not back, that's for sure. She's called out, why I traded two dream jobs for a life of true calling. Paula Ferris has been with us. Paula, thank you so much. Book available at all the usual places. We're going to link it on our website. And how can they be in touch with you?
Instagram or Twitter, first and last name, Paula Ferris, and that's F-A-R-I-S, just like Paris, but with an F.
There it is. Paula, thank you so much for being with us. God bless. Stay healthy.
God bless you, too. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.